Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you again and to open God's Word. It's been my privilege to be your moderator now for 4 years, and one of the greatest privileges has been to open God's Word with you, and thank you for the opportunity of doing so again today. When you're here in church with me, you'll know I normally have things to distribute, and here's a copy of Voice of Hope for January, February, March, in which are the Bible readings, the Bible devotionals that I've written. If you would like a copy, then you can't go to the back today because you're not here, but I have put some at the back. So if you're here next week, we very much hope we'll be here in person. Do please take a copy then. A number of you I know listen to these devotionals on podcast, some live on radio if you're up at 20 to 8 in the morning. I'd encourage you, if you don't open the Bible in any other way in the day, perhaps to make use of those. But it's great to be with you for this Covenant Sunday service, which is a really important moment. Covenant is important throughout the whole of the Bible. In the Old Testament, we meet it, don't we, with Noah. Remember about the rainbow and all of that, the covenant that God made with him, and then with Abraham, and then with the people of Israel, and with David. Covenant's a big word. And in the New Testament, we see covenant focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, the covenant sealed with the blood of Christ. Covenant, as Chris was saying earlier, isn't a word we use much, but we do use the word contract. And it's really very similar to the word contract in the sense that there are two sides to this deal. God wants to enter into a relationship with us. It's been brilliant to celebrate the faithfulness of God in this service. And that's one part of the contract. It's great. We do celebrate it. The other part is, in a sense, what we're thinking about today. Do we want to make the contract with God? There's no question about his faithfulness to us. The question mark might be over our faithfulness to him. And we have this opportunity at the beginning-ish of a new year of thinking about, well, where do we want to go with this relationship? Where do we want to go with this contract? Do we want to be serious about this contract? I love Covenant Sundays because they give us the opportunity to look back at what's happened in the past, to reflect that, frankly, let's get real, hasn't been perfect. Or if it has, I think you've got serious problems. It hasn't been perfect. We're sinners. We have not lived 100% for God. So we reflect on what is in the past and we confess our sins. But then we look to the future, which God has for us. We look to the plans that he has. So covenant's a really important word. But you haven't particularly invited me to talk about covenant this morning, but about something that's very important to covenant in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that is Sabbath. The concept of God giving us a day of rest, one day in seven set apart for God. So in the reading we heard a few moments ago, it comes from Mark chapter 2 in the beginning of 3, we see Jesus in conflict. This is really towards the beginning of his ministry, but almost at the start. There is conflict. And the beginning of chapter 2, we see him in conflict with the teachers of the law because he forgave a man his sin. And the teachers of the law said, well, that proves Jesus is phony because only God can forgive sins. Then secondly, we see the conflict over Jesus spending time with, just imagine it, sinners, tax collectors and well-known sinners. Jesus spent his time with them, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were saying, well, he's going to be contaminated, yet more proof that he can't be the real thing. And then there was a dispute over the fact that Jesus' disciples weren't fasting. John's disciples were fasting, the Pharisees were fasting, but Jesus' disciples were not. And Jesus has to tell them that a new day has dawned. New wine needs to be poured into new wineskins. And then we have these two stories, these two conflict stories about the Sabbath. One day on a Sabbath, Jesus and his disciples were walking through the fields, and they picked some ears of corn. Just imagine the evil of it. The Pharisees are shocked because as soon as they saw them plucking the ears of corn, which might seem a very innocent thing to you, but it is called work. And the Pharisees, God bless them, had 39 different things that you weren't allowed to do on the Sabbath. And absolutely, you couldn't reap. They were reaping, effectively. You can't reap, certainly not. Not even allowed to do much walking. You could do a little bit of walking for particular purposes. And you certainly couldn't. If you'd plucked these ears of corn in this evil way, you certainly couldn't eat them because that would be work as well. So they think they've really got Jesus now. But Jesus points out that they're being completely stupid. They're missing the point. Because actually the reason for these rules was that so that people could enjoy God and enjoy the Sabbath. He says the man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Sabbath was made for us to help us to enjoy life and to enjoy God. And then they think they can get Jesus because he healed somebody on the Sabbath. And he has to face them with a question. You know, what's the best thing to do? To do good or evil? To promote life or to promote death? I want us to use this as an opportunity, and I think it's a great opportunity for us to ask the question, the beginning of a new year, how are we looking after our Sabbath? As we enter into covenant, if you want to do so, not forced, but if you're going to enter into this covenant, part of what God looks to us for is for us to take seriously this holy day, this day set apart for him. And to guide you in this, I have got three R's to take us through our reflections on this. Firstly, the R of rhythm. In creation, God set out a rhythm for creation. He worked for 6 days, as you very well know, and on the seventh day he rested. And what he was doing in what we call a creation ordinance, what he was saying is, this is the pattern of life from now on. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, and so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. It's interesting that through history, there have been various attempts to change this pattern, to change the rhythm. Probably the most concerted attempt was during the French Revolution. The French Revolution was incredibly clever in many ways and incredibly well organized, and the intention was to decimalize the whole of life, including the week. So each day, it's really neat, any mathematicians will love it, every day was divided into 10 hours. I mean, that makes planning so much more simple. And every week was divided into 10 days. And it did last for a few years, but ultimately the wheels came off. It didn't work. Why? Because there is a natural rhythm that God has established of the seven-day week. It's just how it is. Rhythm is deeply important. We all need to respect rhythm in our lives. When people say to me they're too busy to have any time off, too busy to rest, that is a very serious moment. You really have missed out on what it is to be alive, what it is to thrive in God's world. You cannot disobey the fundamental rule, the rhythm of life that God has established. The Old Testament law gave a great deal of importance to the Sabbath. It is, of course, one of the Ten Commandments to set aside one day to keep it holy. It's not to be trifled with. People who worked on the Sabbath, indeed, in the Old Testament law, according to Exodus chapter 31, verse 15, people who worked on the Sabbath were to be put to death. This is not a frivolous moment, this matter. This is not an ephemeral matter. This is right at the heart of God's purposes. Might seem extreme to our ears, does sound extreme to our ears, but what we need to hear is this day is fundamental to the way God wants us to live our lives. When I was a boy, I lived in a family that had very strict rules about the Sabbath, very strict rules about Sunday. We were not allowed to play with balls. I never understood that one particularly, but we weren't allowed to do any schoolwork, which I did understand, was very grateful for. We weren't allowed to watch television, although interestingly, we were allowed to watch the news. Didn't understand that much. And we weren't allowed to go into shops. Mind you, in those days, very few shops were open anyway, so it wasn't much of an issue. Mind you, there wasn't a lot of time to do any of those things anyway. I kid you not, by my mid-teens, I was going to church six times every Sunday. I'm not trying to impress you. You probably think this is a form of child abuse anyway. But I'll tell you how it consisted, in case you think I made it up. 10 o'clock Sunday mornings, I went to the Boys Brigade Bible class, because I was in the Boys Brigade. Played the bass drum, if you're interested. Not very interesting. 11 o'clock was the morning service, of course. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I played the piano for the primary Sunday school. Fantastic. 4:30, we had a young people's Bible study. 6:30, we had an evening service, which is what you'd expect. And 8 o'clock, we had a youth squash, which was fantastic, and a time for the young people, huge youth group, time for us to get together. So it was a great day. I'm not knocking it, but I'm not particularly suggesting that we try and do exactly the same these days. What was clear to me, however, and this is the important thing, was it was undoubtedly a separate day. It was a special, and I treasure those memories because it was a day totally set apart from the other six, a very different day. Please hear me, else you'll miss the point. I'm not wanting to so introduce new laws about Sunday. We would totally miss the point there. But I do believe that God calls us, commands us even, to keep Sunday special. And maybe, and this is work for you to do, but I'd love you to do the work, to reflect on what are those things you could do in 2022 which will make Sunday more special. I do think that avoiding work is important. Ensuring that Sunday looks different from other days, it just doesn't blend in with other days. Making space to meet with God. That rhythm is so important. As often as you can, to be here on a weekly basis. I know life is busy. I know there are other things. And no, it's not a law. It's not a law. But it's a blessing. We need to be together with God's people. And I encourage you to be regular in your attendance. Perhaps it's a particular challenge after this COVID period, which has been so wacky and weird, hasn't it? There's no doubt many people have got out of the rhythm, and I would just strongly encourage you to make sure you're firmly back in the rhythm, and as soon as we can be together, that we should do that, because we need that rhythm. But I'd also say you need to find personal space with God, and that's a personal matter. But within this day, to find a space where you can just be alone with God, you can read his word, maybe going for a walk, maybe through going to a special place in your garden and your home. It really doesn't matter. It's not a law. But can we do something in this new year to keep this day apart, keep it more special? Not a commandment. Not a commandment as to the way in which we do it, but it is a commandment that we keep Sunday special, that we respect and honor this day and keep it holy. And just remind yourself, this commandment to keep Sunday special is alongside commandments not to steal, not to murder, not to commit adultery. This is really serious matter. So that's my first point, my first R. We need rhythm. The second is this. We need refocusing. That's why Sunday is important. You may say, well, can't we do it every fortnight? What's so special about every week? Or perhaps once a month? The truth is, we so easily get out of focus, isn't it? All of us. We live busy lives and we are, little by little, distracted. That's just what happens, isn't it? And so we need to be together. We need this Sunday, this one day in seven that's set apart, where we deliberately refocus our thoughts on God. our world consistently would seek to persuade us that the three most important things in the world and in our lives are money, sex, and power. Fascinating, isn't it? Go back through the Bible, and it's always been those three issues. It's not something new. Money, sex, power. They've always been the big issues. Of course, all three of those things are fundamentally and essentially good. Money is part of God's creation. It's part of what God has given to us. Sex is brilliant. It's a wonderful gift that God has given in order to ensure the continuation of mankind. Brilliant idea. Power is good, inherently good. All power and authority ultimately comes from God. But all three of those things, money, sex, and power, can easily be tainted by sin and actually become incredibly destructive. What happens on a Sunday is we have the opportunity of bringing all our thinking and bringing the confusions and the taints and the distortions of the world and coming to God and refocusing our attention on Him. And we all need it. We need the rhythm of refocusing on Him. It's a great moment yesterday when Sue, my wife, pointed out a hot air balloon that was passing our home. That's not particularly remarkable, apart from the fact that it was an incredibly misty day. And you don't often see hot air balloons, we have discovered, on misty days. Must be very confusing for the pilot and all of that. Very, very misty. And she was pointing out this hot air balloon that was just emerging from the clouds. I couldn't see anything. She and other family members came out to see this remarkable sight. I had my reading glasses on. I couldn't see anything at all. I put my other glasses on, and it's brilliant. It was amazing. It was a hot air balloon just emerging from the clouds. I needed to refocus, seriously. I couldn't see anything till I had refocused. You need your Sundays, but you need to focus on the right things. Don't please go down the track of the Pharisees. People love rules, you know. We've got to do this, tick, 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 all bad. No, let's focus on God. Focus on God wanting to bless our lives, to help us to live our lives more fully for Him. Help us to live more richly for Him. God calls us to refocus. So you've got two R's. Rhythm. We need rhythm. We need to look at our lives, look at our diaries, look at the plans we've got, and see the way in which we can ensure that one day in seven is set apart for God. Time to refocus. But thirdly this, it's a day of renewal. A day of renewal. Because we live in the world that we do, which is fundamentally not focused on God, we need to look to a God who continually wants to renew us. Here, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Here's the word of encouragement. God wants to do something in your life. God wants to renew you by the power of His Holy Spirit. I believe that this message is always important. Any January I might have shared it, any day I might have shared it. It's an important word. I happen to believe it's particularly important at the moment. I spend time, huge proportion of my time, just talking with people, particularly with church leaders, churches, but that's what I do. People are tired. People are very, very tired after 2 years of COVID. It's been hard work for everyone. I'm not special pleading for church leaders. It's been hard work for everyone. But I'm conscious that there's a tiredness, there's a lethargy about these days. And I believe we need to hear the encouragement that God wants to fill us with His Spirit. But back to the theme of covenant, He's not going to impose it on us. He's not going to impose His Spirit on us. It is for us to say, Lord, I want to be, if you do, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be filled with your power. God won't impose. He won't force this on you. But he asked the question, particularly as we come to communion in just a few moments, and we say our words of covenant and commitment. We ask the question, are you open to God filling you afresh with his Spirit to renew you? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talked about how tough his life was, hard pressed on every side. Ring a bell? Perplexed, persecuted, struck down. And on two occasions in that memorable chapter, he said that he didn't lose heart. And you think, well, logically, given that pile of rubbish that you're coping with, you should lose heart. That would make perfect sense. But he says he doesn't lose heart. Why doesn't he lose heart? Verse 16, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. That's God's desire for you, to be renewed by his Spirit day by day as we face the challenges which we are facing, which we will face in the coming days. Let us open ourselves afresh to God's Spirit. Three R's, rhythm. Look at the rhythms of your life and make sure that the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, this day set apart for him, is special in your life and you're using it to the full. Secondly, refocus. Make sure that you have one day in seven when you can retune your vision so that you're focused on God's priorities. And I invite you today to open your life afresh to God's Holy Spirit. He longs to fill you, but he needs to hear your yes. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you that you love to fill us with your Spirit. We come to you now and just say, Lord, please, we're not strong people. We need your Spirit. We need your strength. We need your power. Help us, we pray, to prize this day, to use it in a way that will honor you and cause us to become stronger in our faith. Lord, we give ourselves into your strong hands in the name of Jesus. Amen.